All right, if you have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 8. We're going to be in verses 18 through 22. And I'm going to go ahead and just pray for us, and then we're going to read it. And it'll be on the screen. If you don't have a Bible, that's all right. And let's just come before Jesus. Jesus, we come before you. We come before your scriptures, Lord. You have a hard word, even in the title of the heading of this, is called The Cost of Following Jesus. So we come before you, and Lord, we just ask that you will reveal to us how it is that we are to follow you, Lord, and that you will give us the courage and the strength to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 8, verse 18. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave the orders to go to the other side. A scribe came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." So I find it interesting that in life, and then the scriptures that we have come across over the last 10 years has been really interestingly coordinated with one another, like in just different things, even in this text. So I think it was last Saturday, Mo was on the phone with a friend from Freedom's Promise in Cambodia. She was talking to this gal, and one of the interesting things that her name is Khan Chani, that she said was that many people in Cambodia, especially the youth, want to give their life to Jesus, but they ask this question, almost this exact question that is here. And it's like, well, can I just wait until my parents die and then become a Christian? Which I found very interesting because of the older generation doesn't want change. They don't want, this is just the way that we do things. There's a real fear. And I don't know if I've ever heard this question like, in real time. I've heard it from Mo and from certain others, but this was just one of those things where it was like, well, Lord, let me go bury my father first, and then I'll follow you. And Jesus says here, follow me, leave the dead to bury the dead. Basically, don't worry about that. I've got that. And this is a hard question, and it's a hard question for people who actually have to ask it. Right, we looked at people in Cuba who have to ask this question. We talked about people in Cambodia that have to have this question. It's a very hard question. Lord, I do want to follow you, but like I've got this thing that's really kind of blocking me. And so this question is understandable. And I think like in Cambodian culture, where parents who are Buddhist, not only religiously, but culturally as well, and they would not understand the shift in religion. That's how they would see it. They wouldn't understand that. It would actually be an insult, not only to them, but it would be a turning your back on all your ancestors. Like, this is a big deal. And so it's not a small question. And to give your life to Jesus in Cambodia or any other Buddhist country for that matter, or Hindu or Muslim country or Jewish country, it's costly. It's costly. It's not one of those things where it is like here, give your life to Jesus, then go and live your best life now. That's not how it is. It would be, you would not only be turning to Jesus, you would be turning your back. And this is the way that your entire family and your culture would feel. You'd be turning your back on them. And in the case of Buddhists, you'd be turning your back and dishonoring every generation that has come before you. And in Cambodia, you'd also be changing, which we discussed already, in a country that doesn't like change. They culturally, they're not very quick in changing. They've actually been the same with the exception of little pockets of revolutions and even some hard revolutions. But the people as a whole haven't changed since 1100. So it's a really, really crazy thing. And I believe that Jesus knew this when this question was posed. He would have known it, and he would have known the culture that he was in, but also cultures like it. And I firmly believe that Jesus understands the subtle nuances of cultures, every culture throughout time. Because if we see in Revelation where we see what who's there with us, it's every tribe, nation, and tongue worshiping Jesus as one. And it's also true that Jesus says at times is not tame. It's not something that you expect. It's not something, it can come across as offensive to certain peoples, even certain cultures. It's saying, follow me. Leave the dead to bury their dead and follow me. But the cool thing about this is that in this way, Jesus speaks and it's not controllable. We don't get to control him. It doesn't always, and I think it prevents us from making Jesus in our own image, where it's like, well, I want Jesus to just, I'll take the grace, I'll take a little forgiveness for my sins, but I'm going to hold on to all this other stuff. Is that okay, Jesus? And he's like, leave that, follow me. And so we can't control Jesus, and it doesn't allow us to shape Jesus in our own image. See, we don't shape him. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and yesterday, by the way, metaphorical for from eternity past since the creation of the world. He is the same from yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forevermore. And so we, as humans, we know this, we move, we shift with the winds, with the circumstances, with our ideas, what we had for breakfast could affect us or whatever it may be. And so when we come to Jesus, we are building our house upon a rock that doesn't move. It's not shifting like the sands of our times. And as we build our house on Jesus, the rock, we are shaped by him. So when we follow Jesus, we become this nice fancy word called disciples. A disciple, the word disciple is a follower. It's a student. It's someone who adheres to the life laid out by the one they're being discipled by. So we can think of a disciple as an apprentice. I like thinking about it this way because when you come to somebody to learn a craft or a trade and you apprentice under them, they have you start with certain tasks and then you just kind of like live into this life that is going. You're learning along the way. You're doing the job. You're making mistakes. You're learning from those mistakes and you're being a disciple. And for someone else who, for someone who is trying to learn the way of Jesus, we do that same thing. We're trying to follow him. We're making mistakes. He's there. He's helping us. He's pointing out areas of growth and places that we can learn and follow him. And we are trying to learn his way, not just in a religious sort of way, but with our entire lives. We want to learn to live like Jesus because we come to Jesus because he has promised us what? Abundant life, eternal life. A good life to follow him. Not always easy, but he's promised us life and we want to live the life that Jesus has for us. But his way is not always an easy way. And it's not a way that is expected all the time either. So we can come to this life, we can't come to this Christian life and expect to follow Jesus and expect Jesus to be tame or give us our way all the time. That's not the way it works. He addresses us each as individuals, and we will see this throughout Matthew. And I think about like some people he says, go and sell all you have, and others say he doesn't say that. Other wealthy people, he doesn't say that. And they say, well, I'll give away half. Well, all or half, what is it, Jesus? Like, it's a matter of the heart, and he disciples us each different ways, and he teaches us different ways. So someone will come to ask a question to Jesus, and Jesus will get to the heart and the matter of that particular person. So the answer may be different for another who follows. It all depends on the person because Jesus knows each and every one of us, and he wants each and every one of us to follow him. However, following Jesus demands a radical change in lifestyle. It is the way that we are to be. So we can see this. The first person, this scribe, comes to Jesus and says this, I will follow you wherever you will go. And I think it's important to recognize this scribe and what he thinks he is signing up for, right? So in that day and age, a scribe would be somebody who was especially, they would have been in essence supported by the teacher. There would be people who subscribe to that person's teaching and they would basically tithe or give to that teacher. And then the students of that teacher would come and benefit from that. They would food, drink, books, parchment so that they could write and all this kind of stuff. They'd be supported in a way by that teacher. But the one who learns sits at the feet of the teacher and listens to their speeches and listens to their understanding, tries to figure it out, and then bounces back and forth trying to learn and grow in this teaching. So generally speaking, meals would have been taken care of. So it was a good life, actually. Like, it was a life that was provided for, a life that was sustainable. And teachers would have been supported in their communities because there was a value on education. And so intelligent and good students would come to their teacher, come to a teacher, offer their learning services, and the teacher could say yay or nay. They could be like, yeah, I will accept you into my thing. And because a teacher isn't a teacher unless they have someone to teach, by the way, right? So they need these students to come. So the student is offering a validation of the teacher's position in the community. That is what this man is doing here. And at this time, Jesus was gaining popularity. His teaching was with authority. And this scribe wanted to be a student of Jesus. He wanted to be a student of what Jesus was teaching. And there was, generally speaking, like, there would have been a place where you could have a lot of books. Like, I have a library in my house, and like, that's not transportable, right? I don't have it on a Kindle, and it is transportable, but I need all of you guys to come over, give me a couple hours, we'll pack it all up and move it. And by the way, if I said, let's walk to OMAC, everybody is saying, no, I'm not taking your books to OMAC, right? So there would have been more this idea, I'll follow you wherever, but it's also kind of stationary. Like, as long as we get to sit at the end, eat, read books together. And we need to know that the Jesus answers this scribe, it seems strange. How, because of this idea of a scribe would be about books, about learning, about writing. And even though this scribe offers to go anywhere with Jesus, he would have likely believed that Jesus was going to a more prominent place than he was. He was in Galilee. That was out of the way. And he probably would have believed that Jesus was going to Jerusalem or somewhere more prominent to set up shop. And so he's like, look, I'll go with you to the city. I'll get out of this rural thing. I'll go with you. I'll help you set up your library and your shop. I'll go with you wherever you go, Jesus, because he kind of had this idea that Jesus was going somewhere. And so the scribe recognized Jesus' teaching, had more authority and more power than any other teacher. And surely he would have thought that Jesus is destined for great things. And this student wanted to be saddled up with Jesus' greatness. Hey, take me with you. I'll go. I'll follow you wherever you go. And so the scribe was given an answer. Jesus let him know that Jesus was identifying with people on the margins, not people in positions of power. I find this unbelievable. Jesus, in essence, was saying, I'm not going to set up shop. I'm going to be homeless. I'm not going to just set up a place where people are going to come to me. I'm going to go to the people. I'm going to work out there. And so this idea that Jesus has already said, the narrow is the road that will be followed. And Jesus cuts to the heart of this scribe's questions. He says, oh, you'll follow me wherever? Well, I'm not doing the books and like learning thing like you think. If you want to follow me, you're going to be homeless. You're going to sleep on rocks. You're going to be with me. There's going to be people who are sick and lame, and they're going to come, and you have to be around them. And this is who I am. I've come for these people. I've come for the sick, not for those who well. And so it would have really gone against what this scribe thought he was signing up for. Now, the interesting thing with the scribe and both the disciple is we never get an answer of if this person said, okay, I'll follow. We never get an answer of this. So we don't know if this scribe said, okay, I'll follow you or not. It's not our business. It's not our story. It's that scribe's story. It's between him and Jesus what happens next. But the next person that comes to Jesus has a condition for Jesus before wanting to follow Jesus, which is sometimes we come to this. Jesus, I'll follow you if A, B, C, D, right? And they want to go and bury their father. I look at this, and I believe that you would as well. Look at this as a reasonable request. This is not something that's out of the ordinary. It's like, it's not something, it's not like, okay, once I earn my first million, then I'll follow you. No, it's not that. It's a reasonable request. They want to go and bury their father. And this potential follower of Jesus wanted to go bury his dad, and this, in that culture, would have been good and right and what is expected. In Jewish culture, one of two things was going on here. Number one, the dad was almost dead, which is unlikely. Like, it's just like he's old, he's on his way out, he's sick. If that was the case, most commentators say that then this man would have asked for healing for his dad, right? But two, the second one is that his dad just died, and in that custom, it was customary to bury within 24 hours. So it was a quick, like, either way, it wouldn't have been long until this man was following Jesus. And if it is most thought that this man's father died, and if he came to Jesus right after his father died, how do you think he would have felt? He would have been in an emotional state. He would have been in a place where I don't think 24 hours after my dad died that I was in a condition to make very many decisions. Now, I don't know this man, but that was just me. And it was a thought that if this man's died, he would have come in an emotional state. If you see in this text, the scribe addresses Jesus as teacher. It's coming from an intellectual place, right? Okay, teacher, I'll come and learn. This man addresses Jesus as Lord. It's a far more intimate title. It's a far more like, okay, if this disciple's father just died, his life would have been in turmoil. He would have been looking for wisdom and direction. But there's also a cultural responsibility that was put on this disciple if there was to be any sort of inheritance. If this father was old and the son was just waiting, there would still be responsibility that this son would have to be taken care of his father. If the father just died, he still needed to make sure that he was buried and the affairs were in order before he could go and follow Jesus, if he wanted the security of his inheritance. And Jesus replied to him, and his reply to us is, follow me. Whatever you've got, follow me. And this is a radical and unexpected call that Jesus gives. It's beautiful, but let us pay attention to the twist. Let the dead bury the dead. To follow Jesus is different. In fact, following Jesus supersedes anything that we might think we need to do first. Following Jesus does demand a radical change in lifestyle. If we were to really follow Jesus, there's a lot of benefits, but it also comes with a cost. It's not only the gift of grace and eternal life, there's also a following that needs to happen. The following will not be as we have designed. Like, that's what we're learning from the scribe. It's not going to be how you think it is. And it's not always going to be easy, just like, and the words aren't going to be easy, and people aren't going to understand it, just like the disciple. In both cases, we can see that these people would have had to lose a sense of security. They would have had to, there's homelessness and there is loss of earthly inheritance that potentially was going on here. And Jesus later will tell a story about finding a treasure. And the treasure, this treasure is so great that you go and sell everything that you have just so that you can purchase that treasure. And that treasure will be a greater reward. And the greater reward is Jesus and the life that he has planned out for you and for me. We all come to Jesus with our own questions about following him, right? And the cost is like, oh, Jesus, this really? Is this what I'm going to have to give up? And Jesus wants us to, what Jesus wants us to do, we're not sure. What he has for us, we're not sure. And we get to let the answers surprise us when Jesus says, do this. Come and follow me. This is what it's going to look like. When we come to Jesus, this is one of the important things. When we come to Jesus, we must be ready to do what he has for us. We must be ready to do what he has for us. As we follow, even though Jesus is a straight, narrow path, there's going to be a lot of unexpected ways to follow him. There's going to be a lot of things that we don't understand. So in following Jesus, there is a real gain that we receive from following him. Man, there's real grief. There's a love and there's grace and there's forgiveness and hope. There's peace that passes all understanding. But when we come to him, we're coming in faith. We are setting ourselves before Jesus and allowing him to lead and direct our lives. In a way, we are blind. We don't see. We can see Jesus. That's what we can see. And Jesus leads us. We must be ready to do what Jesus has for us to do. He is not cruel or mean. This sentence that he gives this man, it's not cruel or mean. But the way that he has for us may come across harsh, and it may challenge our lives, and it comes at a cost. We get to count the cost. I don't know what Jesus is going to ask you to walk in. Each one of us is different. We can help each other discern the path that Jesus has for us, but you need to come to Jesus even today, ask him your questions, listen for his answers, and then as he answers, follow him, no matter the cost. No matter what you have to give up or what kind of cultural thing you have to go outside of. What I do know, and I'll speak to myself, what I do know is that after years of following Jesus and doing what he has obeyed, even in hard times, I would say maybe even this way, especially in hard times, is that it's all been worth it. It's all been worth it. Hasn't been easy. In fact, there are times when I think that it gets more difficult with each step that we walk with Jesus. But as I'm speaking for me, as I've learned to walk each step, it's been worth it. And I've had to give things up. I've had to give up ideas. I've had to give up hopes. None of it. And yet Jesus, this is the truth. Jesus has always been good. He's always been sweet as I've followed him. So my invitation is this: come to Jesus. Jesus says, follow me. Let us all do that. The cost may be great, but it will be worth it. We get to trust Jesus. And by the way, trust is something that we start, right? We start with at a certain level, but it's learned over time. It's deepened over time. And as we take each step of faith, we get to begin to trust and keep learning that trust. And so you don't have to trust me and my stories of God's faithfulness. Step out and find it for yourself. And the truth is, if you follow him, you're going to lose much over the years. But the following is worth it. So we get to take a step of bold faith and follow Jesus. We get to come and let him and allow him to direct our steps. We don't know what's going to happen. Just like we don't know what happened with the scribe or the disciple. It's kind of like however many verses are left open-ended. We don't find out what happens. Just like we don't know what tomorrow holds for us or even this afternoon holds for us. But I would ask this. What do you want to do? At the point Jesus says, follow me, their story doesn't matter anymore, other than to encourage us to follow Jesus. Because today is an invitation to come and walk with Jesus. Let him speak to you and then follow him. And so I'm just going to leave us with this question and then I'm going to pray. Will you follow Jesus no matter the cost? And that answer is between you and Jesus. We don't need to know the end of the story. So Jesus, we come before you. Lord, I pray that even for myself, Lord, that following is not just a one-time thing. It's something that I get to do over and over. So, Lord, I just pray that you will continue to lead and we continue to follow you. And I pray that for each and every one here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.